I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 525. A knight, a Viking, and a samurai walk into a bar. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm still alive, so that's good.
Still alive.
Still alive. Still alive.
That makes me want
to watch people. That brings nostalgia to the nerdiest parts of my soul.
It just makes me want to watch people play Portal again. Or Portal 2. I didn't finish Portal 2.
I finished all of Portal 1, bought Portal 2, Portal 1. And then never played, like, never unwrapped and never played Portal 2.
You never play a lot of games that you buy.
No. Mm-hmm. I currently only have 3 games that are still in shrink wrap.
Yeah.
And 1 movie that is in shrink wrap. But it's a Transformers movie and it's shit, so I know I don't have to open it.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. What are the games?
Portal 2. Portal 2.
Yeah.
I also have, what's the other one? Corpse Party for the 3DS. It was given to me as a Christmas present. Christmas present. And I still have not taken the shrimp crap off of it because it terrifies me, but I had to have it. And I have one other one. I can't remember what it is. It's older, though. It's a 360. It's a Xbox 360. Yeah.
Is it an Assassin's game?
No. Huh. Oh, wait, correction. Sorry. Surprisingly enough, I also do have an Overwatch that is still unwrapped for my PS4.
Are you kidding?
But
oh.
It's for the PS4 because I have one for the X-Bone that I do play.
Just not with me. But that's okay.
I have not played Overwatch in forever.
I have not played Overwatch in like 2 months.
So, but we also got it for the PS4 because we both have PS4. So I'm like, we could play together. And I'm like, yeah, but we're not gonna. So and it hasn't happened. Priorities.
That's funniness.
Priorities.
That's funniness.
But you sound good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I have slept. So that's always an important part of
sleeping is part of a balanced life.
It's part of a balanced breakfast. I want to say, I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But I'm also excited because this week I will be doing some fun stuff, which is cool. I'm going to be heading to the Microsoft campus for the week. And
Oh, my God. Are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited.
Like, this is, like, one of the funnest trips I think you get to
it
have.
It is one of the most fun trips
I do in the
year. I mean,
it's a very top secret
year.
Confidential thing, but I think, travel, like, you get so pumped for it.
I travel a lot for work. Especially at the beginning of the year, which I think is ludicrous. But there are 2 trips a year that I make that are absolutely just fun, like rejuvenating trips for myself. One is the Xbox MVP Summit, which is the trip that I'm going on. And I won't be able to talk about any of the things that I'm doing at Summit other than the bowling that we'll do one night at Lucky Strike, which will be awesome. And if
now
you
make sure you wrap up that ankle.
I really, what you need to be more concerned about is not my ankle, but so much my wrist.
If you roll your ankle, you have a hard time walking. If you roll your hand, you can't play games for a while and
And I'm going to be at the Microsoft campus, so.
Where you kind of need to be able to hold stuff.
So.
Just be safe in a strong general sense of all things.
I will consider my safety at all times. How about that?
Great.
Okay. But the summit, the Xbox MVP summit is one of the most rejuvenating trips that I make in the year. And then the subsequent trip that I make that is rejuvenating is the E3 trip. So I'm very much looking forward to Summit and hanging out with my other Xbox MVP alumni, which will be very cool. And so it'll be a fun week. And like I said, just it restoreth my gamer soul.
Good.
Because it's been a while since,
that,
like...
You need things that enrich your soul.
Yeah, because like, it's been
life
a while.
Life is not experienced if you do not feel connected to
it. I have been so crazy at work that I have not been able to, like, really dig into games in a while. I still haven't finished Dishonored 2, and I kind of look at myself ashamedly about that. I want to finish it, though.
Life is sometimes a bitch, because, like Final Fantasy 15-wise, I hate to, like, kind of segue, but not really. Like, I got through the horrible Chapter 13, which everyone warned me I would hate, and I did.
You were right.
And there's only two more chapters left in the game, so, like, now this is the time to do all the backtracking, which, you know me as a collector, I'm all about that.
Right.
And, like, I'm only one Royal Arms away from having all of them, so I'll be getting a trophy once I do it. And, like, I have just not, like, I've booted it up and I've started, like, my grind. And I'm like, I don't want to say I don't care, but I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this right now. And, like, I've become disillusioned. So, like, I keep booting it up and then booting it down and, like, not doing it, but knowing I want to do it. But I'm very conflicting. I feel like a teenage girl all over again. Like, I can't decide what I want to eat.
Aww.
What do I want? I don't know what I want.
You gotta know what you want.
Right, exactly. And I don't. So life just has a way of, I think, like, throwing you off kilter and, like, pulling you away from, like, the things. Because, like, I was all about getting everything done and I was doing it. And now life is just like, you know, there are real things you should be really focusing on.
You should.
Like, and I'm just going to sit here. Your life, I'm just going to sit here next to you. Like, you could choose what happens, but, you know, I am right here and things need to happen. And, like, that's what's been going on. So I feel you on the feeling disconnected from your gamer soul and, like, trying to desperately find a way to get back.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that.
It's just, like, it's gotten away. I've been staying up with news and, like, trying to play some things here and there, and I have not had the energy by the time it's popped in, so I really have been focused on, you know, trying to get back into the whole hog swing of things, especially because right now it just feels like a mini holiday because there are so many games that have come out. You know, you've got Halo Wars 2 that was released, you've got For Honor that was released, I'm going to be talking about that later in the show. You know, we're on the heels of the Switch dropping. You've got Mass Effect Andromeda coming. So, like, there's so many things right now.
Right.
Like, it's the omen that I gotta get back into it. So, you know, I'm feeling better about my life because I've got games back in my life. Like, I have actually slotted game time into my schedule.
Like, the fact, if you don't put it on your calendar, it doesn't happen.
But it's so bad that I have, like, a gaming calendar now, but I'm, like, now blocking out time specifically just to play games.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is really real. You know, and it feels really good. And I'm just about to, next month, be done for a couple of months with major weekly travel. That requires me to get on a plane. So I'm hopeful that, like, after this next trip that I'll be able to, like, be back to normal and jump back in. And I'm going
to
have, like,
back to your
a massive swath of games to play. So I'm excited, and I think that that's what's coming through because I'm feeling really good because, damn, it feels good to be a gamer.
I would drink to that if I had something to drink, which I don't.
I do have something to drink because, as we know, I drank.
So then sit back and drink. Let me take pole position.
Yeah, I'll let you take pole position.
Just this one time.
I'm gonna let you have it
a couple times, but first for me right now, yes, please.
You got it.
Because last week I wanted to talk about this game.
But you didn't get a chance.
I didn't get the more pressing things we had to discuss.
I ran my mouth.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was also about E3 and, you know, opening it up to the public. And that was a big thing that we definitely want to address here on Esh.
Big thing. And those tickets sold out in 2 hours, by the way.
I'm not surprised about that.
Yep.
So Thumper took a backseat. No, I'm not talking about the bunny from the Bambi movie. I wish
Why are you not talking about Thumper?
it, well, I mean, I'm talking about Thumper, but not Thumper.
Oh, got you. Okay.
So,
I don't want to play Thumper Bambi the video game because more than likely you're the hunter.
No, you're not. And actually, that is terrifying to me because I, you know, with the capabilities of visual and stuff now, like
I don't want to do a VR Bambi game, dude.
Like if Naughty Dog did the opening sequence to the Bambi game.
If Naughty Dog made a Bambi game, like, you can't play it. It will wreck your soul.
It would hurt my soul. But so the game I'm talking about is Thumper, which you could find on Steam, PlayStation 4. It's also supported by VR. You can play it via the Oculus or the PlayStation VR headsets. It got showcased or teased about back in 2015 at GDC. And it was developed by Drool, I think is the dev house. And I think it's like a couple of dudes in space. And it was released back in October of 2016. So like it's still fairly young in its life. So instead of me saying that this is like a rhythm game, which it is, the term that they like to use is rhythm violence game, which is a little different from what I'm used to allotting next to rhythm. Like, violence is not the word I would use.
I don't typically put like violence next to any description of a rhythm game that I've played before. Even isn't violent.
Right. So, I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out, when I saw the listing of it, I was like, I don't know how I feel. And, I mean, horror also pops up. So, I mean, I like rhythm games. I like scary games. Like, I'm really curious about what this is all about.
I like watching people play scary games.
Well, I mean, I was curious as to what type of horror / violence we were going to get with a game called Thumper. Right. I mean, first impressions, you know, someone taking a hammer and, like,
Whacking my head.
That's more of a thwacker, not a thumper. But anyway,
I don't want to play thwacker.
Whacker. But anyway, so in the game, or rather the object of it, is that you, the player, are a space beetle. You don't really have a name. You're just a space beetle doing your space beetle life in space. And it is our job as a space beetle to navigate this single track through all of these worlds. And you have to hit these notes on the single track to create this kind of like EDM, like space trance music. And you have to brace against obstacles. So you kind of do like a Tokyo Drift as the space beetle, which is like this really, like, I'm not great at it, but it is kind of cool when I do land one.
You hand me at space beetle.
I mean, it's pretty bomb. You have to jump over spikes. You have to defend against enemies. And it's kind of like, so take Simon, like, with a rhythm, and it all gets laid out on a track in real time. So, like, you don't get to like jump from track to track and build up the song. Like, it all happens on a single track and it's coming at you. So you don't have the luxury of like seeing it ahead of time to try to adjust. So you're doing it all in real time. And this is your life. This is your space beetle life, is to do all of this. And if you do the sequences correctly through the worlds, when the bad guy, the baddie shows up, which in my game, it looks like a vagina with tentacles, sort of. It's like a really classy art vagina. So like it's like a diamond. It's like a diamond.
And so it's like a Georgia O'Keeffe of a.
So it's like a high neon diamond within a diamond within a diamond, and then it has four tentacles on the outside. So I mean, like, if you're not sure you want to date women, don't play this game because it may make you fear. I don't know. It's pretty tasteful. I like it. But the thing about the bad guy, the entity, is like it's what's presenting the rhythm for you, and like it kind of gives you it teaches you a bit of the pattern, but then it starts to fuck with it later on in the worlds. So the only detraction I have from this is that, like, I think the sound balancing, like, between, you know, when you don't hit a note right versus, like, when you take damage, like, those sounds are so much bigger than the actual music on the track. So, like, if you're someone who's really great with audio, you're not going to hear all the cues you need, And, like, you kind of have to brute force muscle memory at some points in certain worlds, which, I mean, if you're not a big EDM trance kind of, you know, music appreciation listener person, like, it's kind of a hard genre to gravitate towards. And I mean, I like some EDM and I do like some trance. But like I said, every error, every time I messed up, every time that my beetle got hurt, like there'd be this overwhelming like inception, bwomp, bwomp. And it would completely, those sounds would last too long and I would not be paying attention to what was coming down the track. So like it has a really great way of disjointing you, the player, from what's going on. And I don't know if that's a technical choice that they went with because they want you to feel challenged and unhinged, or if that was just an oversight in terms of how high certain sounds were over another and you can't really tweak them, which is kind of sad. When you're on this single track and you're going through these worlds, each of the levels are broken up into segments. So the first few worlds that you go through, like I think I'm currently in the third world, but the first two worlds, there's like, I think I want to say 10 or 12 segments each. And you don't progress to the next segment until you've perfectly done the segment before. And I mean, and by perfect, I mean, you've landed all the right hits and you've avoided all the pitfalls, but depending on how many times it's taking you to do that, your score does get affected. So this is kind of like a score beat or whatever those games are called. Like a score max or whatever, like a max min.
Okay.
Like you want to just beat other people's scores. It's one of those types of games.
A leaderboard game.
Yeah. So like you want to do better than your friend, your other space beetle friend.
Space beetle battle.
It's very dark because, I mean, outside of the track and like the bosses and the mid-level bosses that you fight, like that's where the only color really is. And I mean, you have some color on you as the beetle. So very much like Rez, like when you do things correctly, you start filling yourself in. Because I think in Rez, aren't you kind of like an AI that's hacked into a system because you're trying to get at a program? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like as you do things correctly, you get kind of beefier and you get more solid. And every time you fail, you become a little bit less and less and less of that frame. It's kind of similar with your space beetle. You have your carapace, but the better you are at landing your hits and killing the baddie at the end of the track, like your carapace kind of glows bluey purple and like it kind of looks like it's got this cool little like texture on it, and like but every hit you get, like pieces get ripped off of you and you are just like, oh no, like you feel the feels for your beetle. And like in real life, I don't hate beetles, but like I usually let beetles just do their beetle thing, and like as long as you're not encroaching on my space beetle, I will not step on you. And you get to continue to live. Like I can be simpatico with you as long as you ain't trying to fuck with me or walk on my food. Like we can be cool. We can be cool.
We can be cool.
Like, and I imagine space beetles have much better things to do. Like especially this one. Like this guy is, you know, trying to save space from this like space vagina octopus thing. So like the space beetle's got much more to do than annoy me, a measly human. I think the learning curve for this game is very hard, and it is very much cruel. It does punish you for not getting the pattern. I do have to say, though, a positive on that is it's not like, oh, you didn't hit the node and like you take damage from that, because you can run over things on the track and not try to engage them, and it does not hurt you. It's only when you miss them or you don't do them right that you get penalized. So like you could sit there and actually look at, you could run the track a little bit and ruin your time score a little bit to see what's being thrown at you and then attempt it for a perfect attempt. And at least in terms of that marking, you would get a high score on. But I do thoroughly enjoy it. And I am trying to, you know, branch my music, my appreciation for outside music that I don't normally gravitate towards. I think visually it's very stunning. It's not very expensive on Steam right now. I don't know how much it is on the PlayStation because the fiance bought it. So like, I guess it's free for me. But if you're looking for something challenging that kind of reminds you of Amplitude, though it's a little bit more reined into the music choice of the, I think it's actually got a music choice fairly similar to what Amplitude is now versus Amplitude before. It's interesting. And I'm really interested in this whole rhythm violence, and I'm kind of, I know Harmonix tried to do like a shooter with music. I think it was Chroma, I think is what it was called. Mm-hmm. So like we are starting to see this great, you know, emergence of outside of the basic rock bands and DJ Heroes, and I miss DJ Hero. They should bring that back.
Oh, I still have my turntable.
I know you do, but like I'm very hopeful for this expanse for rhythm, because I mean, I think so many people, when they think rhythm games, like they think, you know, Rhythm Heaven, and they think DJ Hero, and they think Rock Band, and there's most so many
think
other
Rock Band and Guitar Hero. They don't think DJ Hero. DJ Hero hit a very niche piece audience. Of our,
But I'm just saying that, like, I'm glad that we're seeing people taking shots with rhythm and trying to incorporate it into a different genre of game. Like, it's refreshing. It's still like wobbly, like it's a baby on its legs right now. So like, I wouldn't expect it to like walk down the block and get me a soda, but like, I have to give it like a slow clap because I appreciate the courage to attempt it. And I mean, the Space Beetle's cute. So like, if they made that a plushie with like LED lights on it, I would buy it.
Are there any plushies that you wouldn't buy?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So right now, like, it's really weird that you bring this up. So there's like this weird, like, fuzzy bear thing, and like, it looks all cute, but then all of a sudden it gets all like, it gets like really like scary face, and like, kids are into them right now, and I'm like, what the fuck?
They're animals. Yeah, you can get them from
Think. Yeah, like they. Yeah, and they like, they look all cute, but then all of a sudden like they get all.
Yeah, there's a button on the back, and then you flip it, and they go all.
And then on top of that, they got these fucking Hatchimals that are like the new Elmo.
Don't get me started with Hatchimals.
I've encountered a Hatchimal. And granted, I think the child who got the Hatchimal like clearly did not understand what the nuance of it was and just wanted to take a hammer to the egg, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of it hatching itself.
I mean, that's what I want to do, is just take hammers to those eggs every time.
But I'm like, people lost their shit for these things. And like, when I saw the egg, I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. But granted, like, I saw this mom go through the process of like helping their kid figure out how to hatch it. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, for a kid who like digs this type of stuff, like, here are the things to do for success. Like, I get it, but not all kids are there.
No kid has an attention span to actually hatch a Hatchimal. So one of my friends did a live stream, and it took them 6.5 hours of rubbing.
Yeah.
Of constant rubbing, like they would go from one kid to a grandparent to another kid to another grandparent to another parent. 6 hours of rubbing before this thing finally freaking hatched.
Decided to peck itself out.
Yeah.
But like, oh my God, I appreciate that.
Hashtag, I hate Hatchimals.
Like, I appreciate the nuance of that, but I know little Panda, back in the days of Tickle Me Elmo, would have been like, I have to do all this work for a toy?
Yeah, no.
When I could just go to my Barbie dream house with her Mustang that goes from a coupe to a sedan, like, bam! No thank you! Let me go live my magical white girl life where everything is magical, because, you know, that's kind of what Barbie perpetuated for me.
Hey, now Mattel's trying to do some work now.
I know, okay. Now!
All right.
Well, come on.
They're
Barbie
putting in
had
effort
her one
now.
Black friend, look. And she had Midge. That's who I remember. I remember Midge. I had like
you
three
did.
Of them.
You had like three Midge dolls.
I had three Midge dolls because I was all about that red hair from an early age. I'm like, it's so exotic and different from anything I know besides myself.
Yeah, but now there's black Barbies. And dude, have you seen the line of Wonder Woman and Amazon dolls that Barbie's done? For the new Wonder Woman movie? Oh my God. I might have to get a fucking Barbie doll. I'm a grown-ass woman, but I want that Wonder Woman Barbie. She looks fantastic.
She looks pretty bomb.
Like, dope as hell. All right. Anyway, coming back. I mean, there's so many toys that I want. Look, what I really, really want. I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want is I want Hot Toys has a Wonder Woman statue. And that's like my, when I win millions on a Powerball that I play at some point in time, toy that I get to myself is to get the Wonder Woman hot toy. Because I can't justify spending $400 on a figure. But if I had that money like that, though, I could and I would, because that thing is absolutely gorgeous. I'll take a, you know, probably $30 Barbie instead. you know, as my...
I almost got you a holiday one because you used to collect those holiday Barbies.
Oh, gosh. Or... I have no place to put any Barbies.
I know, but I saw one and she was a POC with... I think I sent you a picture of her and I was so tempted to be like, blast from the past. Because, like, I remember eyeing all your Barbies because I was like, one day she'll grow out of
them. And you opened one of them and I beat the shit out of you.
Oh, my God. You beat the loving shit out of me.
Because I wanted the first five in box untouched.
I know now. I know now.
Every box man, got I was like, broken.
I can't wait to open one. You
cut
them.
Her hair. Yeah, you caught an ass whooping for that one.
I fucking
with my future investment.
I deserved it. I completely own it now.
Yes.
Hindsight is 2020.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it though?
It is. It is.
Every time. So, 100%. So, 2020.
I get it. But yeah, so that was Thumper. I think in terms of reception of the game, a lot of people really dug what it's aiming to do. I think some people are saying it's like the best rhythm game. That I don't believe. I'm sorry. I'm like,
it's
I would not
say the best rhythm game out there right now.
Well, I mean, currently right now, I think Metacritic has, for the PS4, it has an 84. And like IGN, like kind of sucked drool's dick a little bit on it. I mean, it is great.
IGN be sucking a lot of dick. You want to know why? Because they want to keep their ads revenue. Yeah. So, I'm not even hating on that because you got a lot of people to pay IGN. Like, I feel you. But here's what I'm gonna say. Like, if you think of the rhythm game landscape right now, you've got Rock Band Rivals.
Okay.
Okay. I don't even know. Is Guitar Hero Live still a thing? Like, are those?
Believe it or not, I don't hate Guitar Hero Live.
I don't hate Guitar Hero Live, but I'm like, is it still running? Is it still? Because like I
believe they still update songs every once in a while. I mean, I go into it every once in a while to play. I think it's Mountain of Men. It's Mountain Song by Mouse Mountain of Men or Men of Mountain, Mice Mountain. It's got M's in it. And it kind of reminds me of like the Lumineers, but they're not the Lumineers. Okay. Sort of.
So
but that's really
say,
the only
hey!
Song I play on.
A lot.
Well, I mean, hey! in the Mountain Song, it's more like, like they do a lot of ahs, but it's not a hey, because I think the Lumineers trademarked hey.
I believe that they did.
You can't throw those around.
It's one of the reasons why you don't even hear "Hey Ya" as much anymore is because that "Hey."
Outkast would not have to worry about it because Outkast did the song before they got the trademark, so they just can't perform it live anymore.
That's what I'm saying. You don't see it live. You don't hear it live anymore. Like,
so, but yeah, trademark. but that's Thumper, and I'm like, I'm still trying to work my way through it because I haven't given up on it yet. And I mean, I think I just have to up my game, and I just got to get good. But it's a great little space beetle morsel.
And what's the price point again?
So I think currently right now on Steam, I think my fiance got it at $12. Mm-hmm. But I think it will come down fairly soon. So there's that. And then on PS4, I think it might be that or $9.99 on PS4 actually. I think it's cheaper than that. But I definitely think it is more than a $10 game. And, I mean, I think there's so much more that they could do with it. So I'd like to see what they do in terms of expansion because there's still so much that they could do with this space. Like I said, I haven't finished the game, so I don't know if you actually beat the bad guy or what. But, you know, they can make multiple worlds and, like, do different things. Because, I mean, the world of EDM and trance is just such a vast... they're both vast genres, so there's so much more you can do. So, like, it's really up to Drool whether or not they want to explore those options or not. But I think this was a great, great way to dip your foot into, like, a new genre of game. So I'm very, very thrilled, very happy. It's enjoyable. And, like, it does make me want to up my rhythm skills by, like, a lot. But I think you should try it. I think you would actually have a better time at it than I do.
I may actually give it a go. I haven't played anything on my PlayStation 4 in a while just because it's dangerous for me to turn on my PlayStation 4. And by that, what I mean is the first game that's in my list of what is installed on my PlayStation 4 is Destiny.
Oh, man. Yeah. I haven't heard you say that word in a long time.
And it's also my theme. So when I turn my PlayStation on, I immediately hear the Destiny theme, and I'm like, the siren, she calls to me.
Do you feel like you resonate to the Destiny opening music the way it's a lot of people resonate to the Halo opening music?
Yes. Okay. So the way that people react to Mjolnir's theme is the way that I react to the theme music for Destiny.
Yeah, the fiance wanted that to be our entrance song, and I was like, no, because I didn't play Halo.
Like, I didn't play Halo like that, so...
Well, he's like, listen to the song, and I'm like, nope, still it just sounds in my ears.
Right.
Because I don't understand the importance, and I know there is one.
But, like, I haven't been in Destiny since I finished the second raid. Like, so I didn't do the third raid, and I know they're getting ready to drop the fourth, or they already have. I don't even know. I don't stay up with it anymore, which is really bad. Because
I know for you, where we had like 5 minutes of Destiny with you for like weeks on end.
Yeah, I invested a lot in that game, and then basically what ended up happening was I started running low on time, and then my clan kind of dispersed.
Oh,
yeah. There's some infighting, and
that happens in every guild clan.
Exactly. There's some infighting, and so there was a schism. And the true wolves of Ragna went to the left, and the new Ragnarian wolves or whatever they ended up calling themselves.
It happens to the best of us.
And I was
all
like,
dealt with.
Mommy, Daddy, you know, why did we do this? And so
two Christmases.
And then, in all honesty, they really just started putting way, 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 way more focus on online multiplayer, the Crusade stuff, and I suck at that.
I know you do.
And so...
But I do, too.
But they started putting, like, all the best guns and all the better gear that you really want to be able to get as rewards for doing that. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's not what I play. So they basically... The game ran away from me.
Aw.
Yeah. And so I haven't been playing. And I've had a couple of people like, oh, you should play with me. And I'm like, but are you going to be content running through the story stuff? Because I'm not doing no Crusade stuff. Because I suck at the Crusade.
Like, I think you have to have like that strong desire to beat other people. And I've finally realized, like, actually this kind of happened to me yesterday, which is an outside story. But like, I play a lot of board games, and I have been for a while. And I realized that I don't like strongly competitive board games. Like, board games where, like, your mission is to dick people over so that you win. Like, that's not my style. Like, I love cooperative games. Like, and there are some cooperative board games out there where, like, it's a group effort to accomplish ABC. And, like, I like those games. So when you present me a game that I'm not doing that, and, like, and I have to be mean, and I have to be calculating. Like, I am not. I played two games yesterday that were really about dicking other people over. Like, one was a reincarnation game where literally your karma led you to, you know, ascend to a higher plane of existence. And you start off as a dung beetle, and, like, if you do it right and you win, you become, like, this over-sentient wind being or whatever. Like, that part doesn't matter. It's just the mechanics that I dig. But, like, you have three sets of cards. You have blue cards that are, like, you know, you advancing for your benefit. Green ones are, you know, don't do any damage to anybody else and have a stronger positive karma to you. And then red are asshole cards. And you can only cash in on one. So I'm just like, if I just stick to my, like, dung beetle life and I just live my days out doing what I do best, which is roll poop, possibly mostly my own, right. Like... my good naturedness in fulfilling my role as a dung beetle will then translate me to a snake. And, like, only the people who are next to you and in front of you can attack you. And, like, the guys I was playing with were kind of being assholes. And, like, I had to live several lives as a dung beetle because every time I got close to ascension, they would fuck my Christmas. And I'm like, I have done nothing to provoke you. I am just rolling my poop ball over here. Like, I'm not trying to fuck with your ascension because we all want to ascend to a higher plane. Yep. I get it.
Yep.
And they're just like, it's the nature of the game. And I'm like, I just enjoy the experience. I'm experience driven. And they were ruining my experience by being so aggressive when they could have attacked like 8 other people. But because I was just like, I'm just doing me over here. Don't mind me. And they were like, fuck no. And like, so I like cooperative way more than competitive. But I mean, granted, most games when they're single player, like it's you against an AI. So, I mean, it still has its competitive outlet, you know, and that's where the narrative kind of allows you to dissuade some of that, I guess. But. Like, yeah, I'm just more about doing things together.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I feel...
I mean, the Crusades, you know, 3-on-3, so you do have a little bit of a cooperative, but you're still competing.
Right.
And like, it still boils down to that.
It's, you know, and it's red team versus blue team. Like, you know, you should be working as a team and talking in order to compete well. And I think that a lot of people that do compete well in the Crusade do that. But it does still feel like kind of lone wolfing it.
Right.
When that goes in. Like, I've never been able to assemble, like, my entire clan to go into the Crusade as a team to do stuff. And I think, you know, maybe I'd feel differently about the Crusade if that happened. But, you know, even on the 3-on-3, you know, or, you know, just the one where, like, it's everybody out for themselves. And so there are no teams. There's just get as many kills as you can. Like, I just... don't enjoy it. And so since so much of the community and the game's been focused on catering to those people, I'm like, I'm not the person that you actually want to keep in your ecosphere, so I'm going to move on to these other games. Like, I feel differently on Overwatch. Like,
well, because there's very few times
when I play Overwatch where people, when we're doing like payload missions, aren't very focused on the payload, and that's when, like, it's a whole team of Hanzos, and everybody's just, like, dragging to your face. I'm like, oh, guys, come on. Come on.
I think Overwatch, and I mean Blizzard, I mean, I have enjoyed Blizzard since Diablo, and obviously World of Warcraft, which we don't really discuss anymore.
We don't talk about that.
But I appreciate, you know, Blizzard, you know, taking the tripe of, you know, the, not tripe, the... What is it? The stereotype, the tripe, right? No.
Trope.
Yes, trope. Of, you know, like, you know, a shooter and a kill count and, you know, making sure that the primary focus of some of these maps are not just how many kills did you get, but, you know, capture the flag, working together, you know, moving the payload. And, like, I love that their main emphasis is this. And, you know, you see the people who don't want to adhere to that and just want it to be, like, a straight-up shoot brawl. And, you know, the point is missed on those people. But the ones who play it correctly, I think, get the most enjoyment out of Overwatch.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
But anyway, we were going to talk about Overwatch, and I'm done talking about Thumper.
And so, I'm not going to talk about Destiny anymore.
So what was the... You had two other things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so the first one is just kind of a rant to some stuff that's been popping around. Probably most gamers' feeds this week, and a lot of people have opinions about it. Guess what? I have one, too. So I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to talk about For Honor, so that we can end on a high note. But I promise I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this thing. But I, you know, I got to talk about PewDiePie and all the fallout with Maker Studios and even to a degree with YouTube that he's gone through this week, because I think that there's just a lot there that I want to kind of get off my chest personally. So if you're not familiar with everything that's going on, PewDiePie is... a very, very popular YouTuber. I mean, really.
I think he has like 53 million subscribers.
PewDiePie is the reason why YouTube Red kind of exists, because he just was such a megastar on the channel and really one of the first YouTubers to become a millionaire based off of what he was streaming. You know, his show was on YouTube Red, which was Scare PewDiePie or something like that.
Yeah. He put himself in the shoes of protagonists from games that we've seen him play or we have played ourselves, and doing it in a real scape, like in a real atmosphere.
Because he's one of the, what I would call, overreactor reactors to games. You know, he's just always on, so to speak, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, do you. But I would say that, you know, I'm not a big PewDiePie fan, and I have not been. I've watched a few of his game playthroughs, and, you know, there have been a couple of times where he's made some jokes that, you know, I've laughed at, but on the whole, I just don't enjoy his streams. But again, not knocking him for, you know, being popular. There's a lot of people that do like his streams and his humor and his overlays and stuff like that. But his humor has gotten him into trouble. And
some murky waters.
It's not even murky waters. It's trouble. Okay? Because it's now costing him money. But basically, you know, in one of the shows that he was doing, and this is just after YouTube and Maker Studios, which Maker Studios is funded primarily by Disney in partnership with YouTube to create the YouTube Red content, had just announced that they were going to do a second season of PewDiePie Show. And, you know, he had done this episode where PewDiePie's angle was he's really just didn't understand Fiverr. He found it to be such a silly, silly platform that basically, you know, you could scroll through it and find people willing to do almost anything for like $5. And so he found this group of guys in India who would, you know, for $5 take a photo holding up any message that you wanted on a sign, you know, to try and be like a viral signpost type person, right?
Right.
And so PewDiePie, taking it to the level that he often does, decided to try to come up with something that he thought was, you know, just completely over the top and obnoxious to put on a sign.
His words. I mean, do you think that his goal was to see if the people would actually do it? Look, or if they would be like, no.
So here's the deal. No one's going to say no, okay? Because you're talking about people right now in India. $5 American is a lot of money. So, well, not like a lot of money, but it's a chunk of money, right? For, you know, people who probably don't have chunks of money right. coming in. You know, they're working for pennies a day, okay?
Right.
So, that's an opportunity that you don't say no to, okay? Not everybody around the world, because the message that he gave was in English, not everybody has a full mastery of English, okay? So, I believe that he wanted to ultimately pay somebody $5 and prove that he could get someone to hold up something absolutely atrocious on a sign, and that would be funny. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he says he wanted to do, and just point out how, you know, ludicrous the whole platform was. Okay. There are a lot of really, really awful things that you can tell people to put on a sign.
That's very true.
Okay. Eat puppies, not pepperoni. That's atrocious.
Yep.
Okay. There are a lot of things that you could put on a sign. I enjoy having sex with my family members. Okay? Horrible, right. Horrible yeah. thing to put on a sign. Okay? There's a whole realm of things that you could put on a sign that would get and be shock value. PewDiePie decided to go with death to all Jews as the message. There are a lot of problems and insensitivities with picking that as your message, especially in the global climate that we have right now. And I'm sorry, we are all citizens of the global world. Okay, we're all on Earth, and we're very aware of a lot of the racism that's going on, the sexism that's going on across the globe. When you have an audience as large as PewDiePie's audience is, you have a responsibility to be sensitive to what's going on in the world. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to call out what's going on in the world. You absolutely do. And you have the right to your opinion. And you have the right
to party.
to say the things that you want. You know, freedom of speech is a beautiful thing. You can say what you want. But freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequence as well.
Right.
There are consequences for
actions. It's like, hey, you're free to kick me in the foot, but there's a consequence for that.
Right. Okay. You have to be willing to deal with the consequences of the actions that you take and the words that you speak. Okay. And this is not the first time that PewDiePie has said or had something anti-Semitic in any of his shows.
Right. Didn't he also have a guy who dresses up like Jesus and does like fake like messages like on video?
One of the ones that he did was like Hitler did nothing wrong.
Hitler did absolutely nothing wrong.
Right.
And it's a dude dressed as Jesus.
Right. Okay. So the difficulty for PewDiePie, because again, it's a line that's been run through his shows multiple times, okay? The anti-Semitic one. This time, it bit him in the ass real hard because Disney is involved.
Oh, man. Yep.
Because again,
the big D.
They are behind Maker Studios. And when they caught wind of it, they terminated their relationship with PewDiePie. Because Disney has a really zero tolerance policy.
You know, it's really kind of funny.
It took Disney a while to get to that zero tolerance policy, by the way. They weren't always that way.
I was about to say, because isn't there documentation that, you know, Disney was kind of anti-Semitic?
Look, a lot of people from that era were racist and anti-Semitic and also sexist. Like, let's not...
So, like...
All right, Disney. But the organization grew out of that, grew up, and, you know, now you have appreciation of the LGBTQ at Disney. You have, like, they've become a much more tolerant organization, okay? As all organizations who grow should. But they found out about the episode and went, nope, we're done. So, and we're done with PewDiePie, so... And they put out a letter and said that, you know, this dissolves the partnership and all that kind of stuff. And that's a big chunk of money. And, of course, YouTube, Google, Alphabet, very deep in business with Disney, also not wanting to give the appearance of being supportive of that, pulled PewDie off of their premium content creators organization. And so PewDiePie is just back to which that the higher tier content creator group got a larger ad revenue chunk than what most people get for monetizing their videos. So YouTube threw them off Maker, so they're not making that second season of the show. Threw them off the premium content creator level. Okay, which, you know, some people have estimated is going to cost, you know, PewDie upwards of $10 to $15 million in profits. That's a huge chunk. Huge chunk of money. To go from the top grossing YouTube content creator to probably not anymore. Because of some bullshit. So a bunch of press started running with the story. It's been on the Times. I think it's been on the Post. Obviously a lot of the video game journalist sites, community and otherwise, also started sharing their, you know, opinions on the whole matter, and many people fall in the same category, is that, you know, there are just some things that are not okay. There are lines that you should not cross.
Even when
you're making commentary on status quo things or things like that, there are just some lines that you don't cross. And when you habitually cross them, what that says about you is either you're completely oblivious to the role that you have in shaping people's opinions and thoughts and reaching their hearts and minds, or you don't care. That's really what it says. Okay, because when you have that many followers and that many people eating up your content, they are going to eat up your content. And if it's okay and funny for you to say this thing because you think it's okay and funny, then you're giving them license to think it's okay and funny because they are consuming your content. And you want them to consume it and understand and have this understanding that you have. So when you have some people that you pay $5, hold up this sign, and you laugh at it, you're telling your audience, this is a funny thing, let's all laugh at it. And not, wow, like, this is really sad that we're in a state that people are so hurt for money that they will hold up a sign with words that they don't understand that are really harmful and hurtful to people. That's not the statement that you made. You laughed.
Right.
Okay. And you continue to do these anti-Semitic things. And, you know, after a couple of days, PewDiePie family did a video. He didn't really apologize. It was a shit apology if it was an apology. but basically said, like, you know, I made a joke and it was a bad joke and it fell badly. No. No, you didn't. You know, but, like, nobody believes these things and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, no. There's a lot of people that believe this stuff. There's a lot of people that believe the words that come out of the talking mouths that they see in on their media without fact-checking, without researching. Right. You know, there are a lot of people that just consume and assume that it is true. And it is really thoughtless and harmful to be someone that perpetuates that. So, you know, I didn't have a lot of respect for PewDiePie to begin with. I have even less now. And more journalists are coming out and saying, look, this is not about picking on this one dude because he's successful. It's about picking out the fact that this is a harmful way to create and release content. And it's also irresponsible because there are 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds that are watching your content that have really no real education about the world and the Holocaust. We have Holocaust deniers. We have, you know, the alt-right picking up steam and coming out of the shadows across the globe. This is absolutely the wrong time to put out that absolutely wrong message. And for you to be tone deaf to that says a lot about you.
A lot of not great things.
And they're not positive things. And, you know, the job of the media is to point out the truths and inconsistencies and present the facts to people. And so they presented facts to people. And Pew's response was, you tried to get me, but you can't, motherfuckers. Like, wrong. Wrong. So I have even less respect for PewDiePie now. I will absolutely not be subscribing and watching any of the things that he does. I just think that it's, you know, it's a good cautionary tale for people that want to be creators and go the shock jock route. There's shock for entertainment, and then there's just shock for shock value. And I think that it really is important for us as consumers to take a good hard look at the content that we're consuming from content creators and to hold them up to what we believe are the right moral standards. You know, like, I've stopped following some YouTubers because they just incessantly use the N-word. And I don't like that word.
You do not prescribe to that.
I don't, you know. And, you know, I tolerate it in music. And I've tolerated as much as I can in YouTube content creators as, you know, it's an artist expressing their art and their feelings. And I would never begrudge anybody that, but that doesn't mean that I have to consume it.
That's right.
I don't have to.
You can just say no.
I can just say no. You do you, boo-boo. I'm going to pass. And so I've started to do that with, you know, various YouTube content creators. And I've just started seeking out more and more clean versions of some songs that I really enjoy that just, when the word is feel, when it feels like the N-word just being tossed out because it can be tossed out, as opposed to it's really part of the emotional moment or the message I'm trying to convey, that's when I can't tolerate it in music. You know, when you use it instead of just taking a period or taking a breath, like, that's when I just don't tolerate it. And I don't consume those people's music anymore. So hopefully it's a good lesson learned for PewDiePie, and maybe, you know, he'll cut it out with the anti-Semitic stuff. But I have a feeling that just like some other people, that it just kicks them to do more because they're like, you're a hypocrite. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
Continue. Yes. More.
I just like, you don't get it. And therefore, the only place that I can affect you in a way where maybe you will start to get it is in your pocket. So I'm going to take my views someplace else. I don't know how you guys feel about the situation, but, you know, hit us up on our Facebook, facebook.com/Landavesh, or message us on Twitter and let us know what you think of the whole thing. But I say more power to you, Disney, and more power to you, YouTube, for taking a stand and not just going with the cash cow and supporting the thing that brings in money and views at the detriment of the community. So, slow clap.
Slow clap.
So that's the low note. Now let's go to the high note.
And high notes are high.
I can't hit a high note, so I'm not even going to pretend like I can. But I do want to end on a high note. So, like I mentioned earlier, part of the reason why I've been feeling better and more positive about things is I've been making time to play some games. Also, going through puberty, it seems. Again.
You're a man now.
Now I'm a man! A man, man, man,
man!
Man,
man. Now you're a man!
Man, man. Anywho.
Random segue.
It is so random. But I've been playing games. Specifically, what I'm going to talk about is For Honor, as I've mentioned a couple times in the show already. A Ubisoft
You'll
game.
You'll bring honor to us all. Sorry. I
don't know that I will bring honor to us all, but I'm trying real hard.
Okay. Well, so tell me about this, because, like, I'm not about stuff sometimes. So, like, I keep seeing things, like, you could be a ninja or a Viking or samurai or Viking or somebody, and it's, like, battle turf stuff, maybe.
All right, so let me break it down.
Please do.
So, For Honor, and I think we mentioned this in a show a little while ago, because I was like, I think I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to, like, jump in, I'm going to make this, I'm going to play this. Because it now has my attention again. Because I thought it was going to be one thing. And it's not. For Honor is what I've always wanted Dynasty Warriors to be.
Oh.
And okay. It just didn't get there. So in For Honor, there are three basic clans. There are the Knights. There are the Vikings. And the Samurai. And the background story is that it's basically a war god. I don't want to say god of war because it's not Ares. There's a warlord named Apollyon who thirsts for war because Apollyon basically believes that man will become weak if he is not at war with himself.
Okay.
Okay. And so for ages, the Knights and Vikings and Samurai were at war. And there came a time where all three got to a place where they couldn't even remember what they were warring for and wanted peace. And Apollyon, being a dick, stepped in and basically manipulated things to keep them from actually having their peace talks in their peace time and to keep them at war. And that's how the game starts, is that these factions are at war. They're getting close to another period in time where they're going to all be fucking tired of it and want peace. So Apollyon is showing up and continuing to stoke the fires to keep everyone fucking fighting each other. That's her mission fighting in life.
Okay.
Okay. She's just a bloodthirsty bitch, basically.
There are some out there.
Yeah. For Honor, within each faction, you have four different types of characters. So you have your range guy, you have your tank, you have your soldier, and then you kind of have your hybrid, which is hybrid taking some of the better and some of the worse characteristics of your range, tank, and soldier, and putting them together. So your ranged person is fast and can attack very well from far away, but in close counters, you know, it does not wield as much damage. Okay, your tank can take a lot of damage, can deal a lot of damage, but not fast. And then you have your soldier who can, you know, have decent close combat, minimal range, and okay speed.
Okay.
And then you have your hybrid that is better ranged and can take a little more damage, but deals about the same damage as a soldier. And so you can, you know, be very versatile with that character. Okay, so each of the factions have this type of
What clan are you?
So I start out with Samurai.
Are you the blue ones?
Well, you're not necessarily blue. You can be whatever colors you want. So okay. let me talk about getting started with the game first, because that's what I spent a lot of time in, because there's a lot of customization. So For Honor has both a story campaign and multiplayer, where it's basically capture the flag. And you have to hold line in different places. You have different power-ups that you can get. So you have buffs for your defense and for your health. That run for a short time that affect you or affect, you know, all of the allies around you. You set up your character, so you go through and first you design your emblem, and that's the emblem that displays when you're in multiplayer.
Okay.
And so you have multiple levels of color and different symbols, and you've got layers to it, so... it kind of reminded me of crafting your emblem in Jet Set, when you would like make your own custom tags and stuff.
Okay,
so you have, like, layers and things, and so you could pinch.
I mean, I'm all about customization. I want you to know who.
So that's like the first thing that you walk in is you pick your clan, then you set up your emblem, and then you start with a warrior, and you have. Like, kind of the base soldier unlocked, and then you can spend credits that you earn in the game, or if you go to the store, you just flat out buy, to recruit other types. So if you want to recruit a ranged person in the samurai, it costs, like, 500 bucks. 500 points, whatever. 500 gold, because they use coins, gold coins, as the currency in-game. So it costs 500 gold coins to unlock that character. And then within your characters, you have all kinds of outfitting that you can do for them. Weapons. Some weapons have buffs, armor. So you basically play through to earn better gear, better equips, better buffs, better feats, which is what they call the buffs. And you can, at least right now, as I'm playing along, you can have two of feats equipped at a time. And they recommend that you have at least one of those always dedicated to a healing feat, because you can die. I started immediately with the single-player campaign just because the game is brand new. I knew that the servers would be trounced with online multiplayer, which they were. The only complaints that I've seen so far from people within my immediate circle that are playing the game is that online matchmaking is hell. Typically is for a new game when you're just fighting new servers, so I expect probably within the next couple of weeks that'll even out and be easier. But I really wanted to go through the story campaign because I wasn't really aware that For Honor was going to have a story campaign. You know, the two hands-on things that I played through, one was really, now that I've played the game, the intro tutorial on how to move. And then the other one was just trying to take a fort. And so it wasn't really very clear to me that there was this whole story that, you know, Apollyon existed and that she had, you know, things that were going on, that there were named knights and all kinds of chicanery that were going on. But it does have a story, and the campaign is very interesting. When you play the campaign, you don't actually play with the character that you just built. You play with predetermined characters that are in the story. Because you walk through playing in each of the factions and see how Apollyon is affecting them. So you start off in the knights, and you have the ability to choose from one of six knights when you start the story. So basically everybody but the hybrid. Everybody but the ranged person is available. And there are two women in the group of six, at least on the knight side. I haven't gotten to the Vikings yet, but I'm getting close. To playing through their piece of the story. So you start with the knight, and you basically start with a mercenary who's hired by this one knight to help defend his castle from an onslaught from a guy named Holden, who is basically the right hand of Apollyon. And Holden's crew finally make it into the fort against your best efforts, taking out their archers and things like that. And this really teaches you how to use the controls, because the control systems are very, very different. Your basic... basically blocking, parrying to win. So you have to keep an eye on what direction, either right, left, or top, the attack from your enemy that you're locked onto is going to attack you from, and react by mirroring their stance in order to block their attack, hopefully get them to stumble so that you can then attack them, onslaught them, and take them out. And depending upon how well you block and parry and take them out, you earn points. And
how good are you?
I am okay. I sometimes get lost in my brawler
mentality a little bit
because the stance is controlled by the right stick.
Okay.
Your movement is controlled by the left stick. In order to stay locked on, you have to hold down the L trigger. So I'm constantly moving both sticks while holding down the L trigger, which is very uncomfortable for long periods of time for me because I'm digging my thumb into the left stick divot. And I'm basically, it forces you to claw grip the controller just to stay locked onto an enemy. So I think I'm going to start playing with my Elite controller so I can remap, and instead of having to hold the trigger using my index finger in all the time to lock on, to map it to one of my toggles underneath. So it'll be a little bit more comfortable. Because you have to, in order to attack correctly, and I mean, you have to stay locked onto them. So you're constantly in a state where you're holding the left trigger in all the time.
Okay.
Then you are, and you can remap the controls, but the tutorial walks you through with the control with the standard set. So you're constantly holding in the left trigger, moving with the left stick, and moving with the right stick while you're still holding those things down, because you want to circle your enemy so that you can get them to kind of indicate what stance they're going to go in so you can try to mirror it. So then you're trying to move the right stick to the right, to the left, or to the top to mirror their stance so you can block them. And then your quick attack is mapped to the right bumper, and your slash is mapped to the right trigger. So I'm constantly holding these top buttons and working these top buttons that I'm not used to. And so it's very uncomfortable for my hand.
Right.
And what I really want to be doing is like mashing my X button, my A button, and my B button to do attacks. And those are mapped to stun things. So like your X you can use to try to physically like bump in and knock off balance or kilter an enemy, or to stun them using the Y. And so I'm expecting like an attack to be on those buttons, and it's not. So that's a little discerning. And so I find myself, I've already died twice, and the two times I've died, it's because I'm sitting there smacking my buttons, and not actually the buttons that are mapped to attack. It's an interesting mechanic because your character has stamina. So the more you use your heavy attacks and your quick attacks, the quicker you max out your stamina bar. Once your stamina bar is maxed out, you can still parry, you can still block, but you can't run, and your attacks are slower. So they're much easier if you're on the attack when your stamina's out for your opponent to block. So you really do have to be very, very strategic in how you approach your fight. Because as soon as the screen goes gray, you're out of stamina, and you know it. You can't run away, and your stamina rebuilds over time of you not taking action.
Okay. I'm formulating all of it. Like, this is all kind of...
So it's much more thoughtful of a game than I thought it was. The visuals are really beautiful in the game. You know, I picked a female character to run through with my knight, and what's awesome is that she's voiced by the same chick that voices Femme Shep, which that's Jennifer Hale, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So as soon as she talks, I was like, Commander?
Commander Shepard?
Because I've only ever played Mass Effect as a woman, so I was like, Shepard? And I was like, oh, sweet! And she's badass, and doesn't take any shit. And so, like, we're going into this fight, and, like, she finally, like, takes out all these guys, and Holden comes through the front door after ramming it down. And I was like, all right, we're gonna end this, because your men don't have to die. We'll do it in one-to-one combat. And my lord's like, if I fight you, that's just insta-death, so we're not doing that. He's like, okay, fine, fight my second. And he's like, I'm not a bitch. I'm not going to fight your second. I'll have my second fight your second. Who's my second? And he turns around and picks you. He's like, okay, you're going to be my second. Fight him. And your character's response, like, grabs her sword. She's like, okay.
Yeah, let me just...
No, literally, that's what she said. She goes, okay. And I was like, yes, that's the snark I'm looking for. So let's do this. So, you know, the voice acting is very good. The character design is very good. The gameplay itself is very fast. I haven't experienced any slowdown or any frame drop yet. I've had some difficulty connecting to the Club Ubisoft stuff to get, like, some extra emblems. Because for a bunch of games, if you own those games, you get their emblems for free. So, like, I really wanted to be able to put the assassin symbol on my emblem.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I tried to load the Club Ubisoft stuff, it would actually freeze and then reboot my Xbox.
Oh, that's the you were having issues.
Yes. Yes, every time. So I went through the tutorial four times. And after four times, I was like, you know what, screw it. I'll just stick with, like, the stock emblems and we'll just leave it at that. We'll call it a day. There are color options that you have that for any of your characters that you outfit. And then there's additional, you know, decorational items that you can put on, very much like the costuming in Assassins. So there are color combinations that are a lot unlocked and other ones that you can unlock by leveling up, getting to certain levels, owning other games or finding certain things within the game. As you traverse a level, it's completely up to you which way you want to attack. You know, there's usually three objectives that I've seen so far to complete a level, and in whatever order you want to complete those is up to you. So if you want to go to the faraway camp first and then come back, you can do that. If you want to stay and strengthen your front line for a little bit, so you have more people that will come to your rescue, you can do that. So it really is a very, very strategic game when you get into it to be successful. And I like that. I'm surprised by that. And I really wanted to be surprised by the game, you know, because after my first couple initials, I was like, it's nice, but I don't really see where it fits. And I would definitely say, you know, I think that once, you know, multiplayer gets up and rocking, that I don't think that it will take a huge chunk of the audience away from Overwatch, because Overwatch is just brawly fun with some strategy based off of the objective for the level that you have. But this is very much a action strategy game. It happens to be focused on fighting and brutalness, but it's an action strategy game. And I really like that. And I respect them for that. So I'm really enjoying it so far. And
I mean, it sounds like a lot of mind exercise, but like enjoyable mind exercise.
In a
like
really
you feel
good
very
way.
Accomplished
yeah.
about what you're doing.
Like when I finish a battle and I've completed it, I do feel really accomplished. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, all right, Apollyon's kind of a bitch though. But yeah. And I'm pretty sure that my character is gonna defect at some point. And she decides like the chicanery is some bullshit. So I think that, you know, the way that I feel like the story is going to go is that you probably will end up being one of the people that herald the peace talks again, and the goal will be to take down Apollyon so the peace talks can complete mm-hmm. in their entirety, and that, you know, peace gets brought to the realm. Like, that would be super cool if that's how it works, and I feel like that's where it's going. Apollyon's a bitch, and I really enjoy the game. So if you like action strategies, like if you enjoy the, you know, take over this camp, then this camp, then this camp, because then we win the map of Dynasty Warriors, then For Honor is right up your alley. But it's done in such a interesting way and really involved way. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of thought that you had to put behind Dynasty Warriors. It was just like, okay, I have six forts that I have to take over. I have my strongest general here, so I'm going to back up my strongest general because he's going to get more people to rally to move forward, and they will hold them off while I sweep back and get these two fortresses. And then once you have these two fortresses, that's it. Once I have these three generals and these three forces, we are going to sweep the map. And that's pretty much how you rinse and repeated for every level in Dynasty Warriors. And I don't feel like that's the case at all with For Honor. And I love that. So I'm definitely going to be playing this game through to completion, and bravo to Ubisoft, because this is kind of completely different than anything they've done before, and I really like it. So
it sounds like it.
For Honor is available on Xbox One. It's available on Windows Gaming, and it's available on PS4.
Okay.
So with that, that's what I've got for this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast and get it every week. You can do that by going to our website, electricsisterhood.com. Hit up the links right there on the homepage for the feed. Or just listen to the show right there on the website and post. Completely up to you. Whatever rocks your boat. Man, we're not going to tell you how to consume us. That's for you to do. But you can also get our podcast through iTunes, either on the desktop application or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. We put out new episodes every week, so make sure that you check them out, get them, listen to them, engage with us on social, let us know what you thought about them. You can also check out all the great stuff that our writers are contributing to on our site, reviews, previews, editorials, and so much more. So bookmark our site, because we love, love to see the traffic and like to hear what you think about the stuff that we're writing. So make sure that you check that out. We've got all kinds of stuff from video games, anime, to manga, and so much more. So check us out. We're nerdy. Just like
you. Yay, nerdum!
Yeah. Be sure that you engage with us on our social channels, facebook.com/landofesh, and we're on Twitter and Instagram at ESH News. We'll be posting a bunch of stuff from PAX East coming up here on the 10th of March, so make sure that you're following us on social so you can keep up with all the stuff that we're covering. We're probably going to do some live streaming as well, so you definitely, definitely want to check that out when we do that. If you enjoy what we do, then I highly recommend that you check out all the great shows that are part of our network, because we've got a lot of really fantastic people that contribute, and you should be a part of it. So that starts with the No Borders, No Race podcast, which you'll find on
KBD.
Which you'll find on B3Crew.com, which is held down by our homie KBD, King Baby Duck. If it's indie, if it's J-pop, K-pop related, anime related, manga related, video game related, just related, it's going to be on B3. So make sure that you check what all those bastards over at that site are talking about, writing about, and be part of it and share it. It'll just increase your day. And you'll probably learn a little Japanese too in the process. So it's cool.
Somebody! Anyway.
Anywho, in addition, on Wednesdays, definitely make sure to check out our homie Hamsterman2049 streaming live on Twitch. You can get the link every single Wednesday, right before he goes live on our Facebook page. But you'll find him at twitch.tv/HamsterMan2049 every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern, streaming a new and different game. If you didn't check out him playing Resident Evil, you need to, because it's just funny. So make sure that you check out his live streams every Wednesday, 9 Eastern. Jump into the chat. Be part of it. It's just a fun, cool time. Check out smashwork.com too. It's a great site that Ben put together, so definitely be about that life. On Thursdays, the man, the myth, the legend, the homie, Phil, the issues guy, with Phil's recap and review, a fantastic, fantastic review show on YouTube. I absolutely love everything that Phil does. I don't even watch Vikings, but I watch his recaps of the shows, so that's how enjoyable they are. You can call in live, be part of chat, be part of the recap shows live. Make sure that you check out all of his stuff. You can find links to his videos as well as some of the reviews and articles that he does at issuesprogram.com. Definitely make sure that you subscribe to Phil's recap and review on YouTube. It is absolutely phenomenal. And last but certainly not least, covering all the things that nerds crave, our friends over at nerdcrave.com. They're talking comics, video games, anime, manga, and so much more. So make sure that you've got us all bookmarked, that you subscribe to our shows, that you give us feedback, let us know what it is that you want us to be talking about, looking at, playing, make recommendations, tell us stuff to stay away from, but just hit us up and let us know, because we do this for you as much as we do it for us. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, folks,
stay classy.